take your Bibles this morning and open up to John 10:10, and if I actually follow my notes, we'll turn to a lot of passages of Scripture. But I said John 10:10. Well, if you're there already and got it marked, keep it marked and go with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6. Luke 6. And I want to share something with you today that, what, how do I say it? Something that makes me sad. That'd be all right. How many of you know, as a pastor, as a minister, you see things that make you sad? You do. You run into things that bum you out. You run into things that disappoint you. And at times there's like this grieving process that as a minister you go through, and it's and really what you end up doing is you end up grieving loss. And it's not, I'm not talking about when someone passes away. I'm talking about when someone makes choices and decisions and then their faith is no longer a part of their life. And then when they are no longer a part of the fellowship. And sometimes it happens quick and radically, and sometimes it happens gradually. And there is a sadness that I get to deal with. I mean, for years we took pictures, and we had a picture book, you know, of all the folks in the church, address book with everyone's photos. That's a great idea until you went about 15 years down the road and you started looking at, oh, they're not walking with the Lord anymore. Oh, this has happened in there. And it is actually heartbreaking for me. You know, and so today what I want to talk about is I want to talk about the Word and the different roles and the different parts and the different aspects, call it whatever you want, that the Word of God plays in our life. Because how many of you know we don't have to stop fellowshipping? We don't have to lose our faith. You know, we don't have to no longer walk with the Lord. That doesn't happen to us. That doesn't have to happen to us. Amen? Amen. And how many of you in here, you could say the same thing. You can think of people, you can think of friends who once you would have never dreamed that the day would come when they wouldn't be walking with the Lord. Amen. And then now you look and you go, oh my goodness, how'd that happen? So, did I say Luke 6:46? Okay. And I know I also said John 10:10. We'll want to get there. But and then I have this. Did you know we need to make church longer? Thank you. I don't know who did that, but thank you. Thank you. Okay. Amen. Here's why we need to make church longer. We have to have longer greeting time when we greet. Amen? See, Nancy likes that idea. We have to have longer worship time when we sing. Amen. And we have to have more time for the preacher to preach. Oh, there we go. I was begging, and you guys just came right on, man. Thank you. So, anyway, glory to God. Luke 6:46. Jesus is talking here. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? I want us to catch something. And I say this, I think, every time I go to these passages of Scripture, but I want to say it again. The motive in Jesus saying this is not anger and mad at people and ready to thump them. That's not it. The motive behind him sharing what he's sharing is he gets sad. He's bummed because people miss out on the benefits of his kingdom. That's it. That's his heart in this. It's he's like, you guys, please don't miss out. Please don't walk in such a way. Please don't live in such a way that all of these things that I have for you in my kingdom, you don't get to experience them like I want you to. Amen? That's the motive of his heart. That's what he's wanting for us. And we'll just read all these verses, 46 through 49. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Just a question. Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against the house, and it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like the man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I want you to think about something. There's two houses built, right? And with these two houses that were built, in both cases, the builder of the house heard the word. Did you notice that in there? The one person in verse 48 is like a man of building a house who dug deep. Well, you know, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I'll show you what he's like. This fellow here in verse 48, came to Jesus, heard his sayings, did what he said, and he starts building his house on a foundation. And then the storms come. How many of us know it doesn't matter if you're Christian or not? It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, young or old. How many of you know storms are going to come? It's just part of living on this planet. There are storms. They're going to come. Amen? I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I'm just telling you the truth. They're going to come. But Jesus is saying, if you come to him and hear his sayings, hear his word, and then do accordingly, you're going to build your life in such a way that when the storms come, your life is not shaken, your life is not destroyed, your life is not wiped out. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. But this fellow, he heard the word. He heard what Jesus had to say. Did you notice in verse 49? But he who heard, so this guy heard the word too. Everybody go ahead and say that. This guy heard the word too. See, sometimes people will, you know, they'll think, you know, you look at folks in a church. And why do some people just shoo, and grow and take off and storms come and they stand victorious and they make it through them? And other people are gone after a while. It's what they did and didn't do with the word. See, everybody wants to always put it on somebody else. How many of you know there's a lot of it that's on us? You know, I've run across too many Christians who blame the church for them not doing the word. Two people heard the same message, one person it benefited, the other person it didn't. What was the difference? The people. Amen? Turn to look at somebody and say, man, I'm glad I'm here today. I really need to hear this. Praise God. Because what do you want to be? Do you want to be verse 49? I know you don't. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built his house. He did nothing with what he heard. What will you do with what you hear? What will you do with what you hear from God's word? Will you use it and will you build with it? Will you let it do what God wants it to do in your life? Or will you hear it and then just go off and build your life without it? It's a great question. Turn to look at somebody and say, and I got a great answer. And that answer is, I'm a doer of the word and not a hearer only. Amen. Amen. See, in the word of God plays different facets, it plays different roles, it does different things in our life. It doesn't just do one thing, it does a lot of different things in our life. And sometimes we'll focus on one aspect of what the word does for us and leave these other aspects of the word, what it does for us, undone. Okay, so and I want to hit on that a little bit. Anybody got your Bible marked at John 10:10? Did anyone get there and mark it? If you didn't, you don't have to, because I'll just quote it. The thief comes not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus, talking about himself, said, but I have come that they might have life. Everybody say life. And life more abundantly. Amen. Now, over in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus said, man should not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Say live. Say life. Jesus came to give us life. Jesus came so we could live. But now, in the natural realm, how many of you were alive and breathing before you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? All of us, yes, I know. I'm trying to make a point here. So the life and the living that Jesus came to give us is more than just natural. It's more than just natural. John, down there in Rushville, come in on Sunday morning. How you doing? Super, naturally. And you can take that two ways. Supernatural. He's living a supernatural life. And he's just doing super, naturally. You know? I love it. I love the life that would flow out of that family. Love it so much. But just think about it. Jesus came to give us life. And in Luke 6:36, it says, John 6:36. Jesus said, the words that I say to you, they are spirit and they are life. So what kind of life is that? There's a lot of places in the scripture when you look up the word life, Zoe, the God kind of life. Life as God has it. How many of you want the God kind of life? How many of you want life as God has it? You know what's vital in that? The word. Man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. I mean, God's word is life. There's a verse of scripture. It's one of my favorites. It's in Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16. And the first Bible I had, I think it had it this way. Your words were found by me, and I ate them. And they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. So think about that. Man should not live on bread alone. So here we've got this connection of living and not on bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you know one of the aspects that the word of God is for our life, does in our life? Feeds us. It feeds us. It brings food. It brings nourishment. When I say food, I'm talking about spiritual food. It gives us spiritual substance to sustain us. Amen? And I've heard people say over the years, yeah, I got a great meal on Sunday, and as the week was going by, I was getting pretty hungry, so I came to church on Wednesday, and I got another meal that got me to Sunday. Well, why don't you just feed yourself on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Amen? How many of you don't have to come to church to get a good meal? How many of you go to a restaurant every time you eat? You've learned to cook at home. Amen? How many of you know it's good to read your Bible at home? It's good to have a meal on a daily basis. And I can tell from looking around, some of you practice that. I'm not picking on you, Jim, no. Just got to lighten it up a little bit, okay? But I mean, we feed ourselves naturally on a regular basis. We need to feed ourselves spiritually on a regular basis. Amen? We need to just take the food in. Gives us strength, gives us energy, gives us nourishment. Amen? Spiritually, Jesus came that we might have life. And life more abundantly. Amen? The word. It'll feed us. It'll feed us. I think we need to go to Proverbs. I've quoted a lot of the places we were going to turn and look at. But go with me to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 4. And let me just say the four things that I want. I could hit on, and how many of you know the word does more than four things in our life? You know, one I thought about, I was thinking about this. He sent his word and healed them. You know, the scripture talks about God's word as being a medicine. It's a medicine. health to all our flesh. God's word is a medicine. It's a health to all our flesh. Thank you, God. Just think about this. When the word of God is being received and taken in, guess what's being taken in? Medicine. Health to all our flesh. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Give attention. Give attention to God's word. Give attention. You ever been riding with somebody and you really wanted them to be paying more attention than they were? I've been there. I was there the other day. I was riding with somebody and I'm like, oh man, I wish you'd slow down or pay more attention. One of the two. And for me to be wishing someone would slow down, now that's wishing something. But just really, you know, give attention. My son, give attention to my words. You know, the sad thing is, how many times do people stop giving attention to God's word? You know, and then he goes on and says, incline your ear to my sayings. I think we need to give attention to the written word of God on a regular daily basis because it's food. And then I think we also, now catch this one here. We need to incline our ear to his saying. We need to incline our ear to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We need to hear what the Holy Spirit has to say. I just want to do something, okay? Kathy and Ernie came in this morning, and I had a compliment for Kathy, and then I asked if it was okay because, you know, you got to be careful sometimes complimenting ladies. Amen? Because somebody might get mad at you or something like that. Wasn't worried about Kathy getting mad at me, and I wasn't worried about Ernie getting mad at me. I just learned you got to be cautious. And so give her a compliment. And then we visited a little while, and Ernie goes, you got a compliment for me? And I said, yeah, I do, but it runs deep. And I don't know how many months ago it was, but Sherry was in the middle of a wrestling match. She had some stuff that was going on inside, and it was a battle. Am I correct? Just inside. Enemy throwing thoughts at her, just hitting her. And I don't know the exact word, Sherry. I think you remember when, don't quit.
Keep teaching.
Keep teaching. Two words. Keep teaching. Ernie had no idea how that was going to speak to Sherry. But see, what happened is he inclined his ear to the sayings of God and then passed that life on to another member of the church. Amen? Thank God. So give attention to the Word of God and incline your ear to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, I'm going to keep reading. Verse 21. Do not let them depart from your eyes, but keep them in the midst of your heart. Why? Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them. Getting a hold of God's word is life to those who find it. Amen. Let's see, where did I leave off? Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. How important is the word of God? Amen? Amen. Now, you going to let me keep going? Yes, you are, because I'm not going to stop talking. Not right away, anyway. I want to hit another one about God's word. You know what God's word does? It brings knowledge. It brings knowledge to us. It brings knowledge and understanding to our mind. It brings knowledge. Knowledge is, how many of you know knowledge of God's word is not a bad thing? But how many of you know this? The knowledge of God's word is not to take the place of the life that the word brings. Because here's what I think happens. There are times when people get knowledge in their brain, They got knowledge in their head, and that's a good thing. I am not putting this down. The Bible says in Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So I am not putting knowledge down. I'm not putting down getting your mind renewed to the Word of God. Turn to look at somebody and say, he's not putting knowledge down. But here's what happens. People get knowledge in their brain, and they stop feeding. They leave that element and that aspect of the Word of God out. They got the knowledge in their brain, but they're starving in their heart. And that life that comes from the Word is shriveling up. And I watch it happen to people. And it breaks my heart. It makes me sad. And yet, knowledge is so important. Knowledge is so important. Just go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 5. 2 Corinthians. You getting something? Okay, one of the things that God's Word does, it brings life. It brings life more abundantly. Another thing that God's Word is and that God's Word does, it's health to all our flesh. It's medicine. He sent His Word and He healed them. Life, healing. The Word brings knowledge. And knowledge is so important. Knowledge is so valuable. We need to have our mind renewed to the Word of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, pretty common in my world. Other people's as well. Going to read quickly here. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The last part of that verse, verse 5 there, about in the middle. Casting down arguments and every high thing. Everybody say arguments. You know, the Amplified says arguments, reasonings, and theories. Where are arguments, reasonings, and theories? Where is one place they are for sure? They're in the mind. They're in the brain. Arguments, reasoning, and theories going on in our heads. Casting down arguments in every high thing that exalts itself. Casting down everything that exalts itself. That elevates itself, that rises itself up. All these other things other than what? Other than the knowledge of God. That exalt themselves, try to build themselves up. What the world tells you. What the doctor's report tells you that isn't positive. How many have ever had a doctor's report that was different than the Word? I thank God for doctors, and I'm not against doctors. How many of you know doctors want people to be healed? Doctors want people to be well. Don't put your faith in not going to doctors. That is not scriptural. You know, this crazy story. Dad Hagen, he's on the road years ago. Miracles happen all the time. People healed all the time. He is supernaturally healed. He's on the road. The Spirit of God speaks to his heart and says, call your wife and tell her to get to the hospital. And it's back before cell phones and all that stuff. And how many of you remember when the rates used to change with the time? The rates were higher during the business hours? And so it's about 4:30-ish, somewhere around there, and the Spirit of God speaks that to his heart, and he looks at his watch, and he goes, the rates are going to go down after 5. So he makes this decision, I'll call her after 5. And the Spirit of God says to him again, call your wife and tell her to get to the hospital. They were living in Tulsa, wanted to get her to ORU. And it's like, I will, after 5. You know, saving money. And all of a sudden, the third time, the Holy Spirit spoke up louder. Call your wife now and tell her to get to the hospital. I think it was one of those cases where he turned around to see who was sitting in the back seat when he heard it. So he called his wife, and she got to the hospital. And when he got there, the doctor said, had she not got here when she did, she would have been dead within minutes. Why did the Spirit of God tell him to tell her to go there instead of just speak a word over her? You know what the answer to that is? I don't know. I don't know. But here's what I do know. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. And she lived for many, 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 many years after that. Amen? Why did I get on that story, honey? Will you tell me? There was a really good reason. What was I talking about prior to that? Oh, yes. Thank you, Michelle. Don't put your faith in not going to doctors. Did you know you can't buy it in a verse of Scripture that you can hold before God and say, God, I didn't go to the doctor, now you have to heal me. But you can find a verse of Scripture that says, by Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Amen? By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. And sometimes you'll get a doctor's report that doesn't line up with the Word of God. Well, they're just in there. They're going in the natural most of the time. Every once in a while you'll find a believing doctor who will pray and lay hands on you, and they'll hook your faith up with your faith, and wow, praise God. But thank God that doctors want to help us get well. We put our faith in His Word. Amen? Hallelujah. We're talking about knowledge. Okay, I don't know why I went down. There was a reason for that rabbit trail. I'm glad somebody got something out of it. Praise God. Amen. This is it. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. How many of you can see this battle? These things of the world exalt themselves against. Would you all do this with me, please? Right hand. Everybody get your right hand and do this. Exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Okay, so what happens if there's no knowledge of God over here? Exalt itself against, and there's nothing there. How easy is it for the enemy? So sounds to me like we need a little bit, we need the knowledge of God. So that when the things of the world and the enemy and the circumstances and the storms of life rise up and start pushing against, we got something here. And we just put it down. Who's supposed to put it down? We are. Knowledge is important. Knowledge is important, but it can't take the place of the life. Amen? How many catching that? See, I know people who, they got a lot of knowledge, but they're missing out on the life. They're missing out on the life and the life more abundantly. Your words were found by me and I ate them, and they became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. We got any people in here who you just got some joy and rejoicing in your heart? And you can laugh regardless of the storm? I can. That's amazing what I can laugh through. It's amazing what I can be carefree about. I've had people in the past, don't you care? Well, of course I care. Well, why aren't you worried? Did you know worry is not automatically a sign of care? I care. So I went and ate His Word. And it became the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. And the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? And the devil said, what? Ha, ha, ha. How are you seeing it? Amen? The Word brings life. The Word brings health. The Word brings knowledge, and we need that. But don't let that knowledge replace the life part. I remember these friends of mine, dear friends, one time, I had this in my heart to keep sharing it with them, and I would share it with them, and the response from the husband was, I know that, I know that, I know that. And every time he said, I know that, I got this check in my spirit. It's just like, why does it bug me when he just responds with, I know that? And I went and I prayed about it. God, why? And this is what the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, a lot of people think that being a knower of the Word automatically makes them a doer of the Word, and it does not. I know that if I would eat differently, here, let me share this with you. Just people buy me t-shirts, and I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful that people buy me t-shirts. I love it. But I am a 2X. Okay, just so you know, I'm a 2X. You see this here? You see this chest? You see these arms? You see them shoulders? This is a 2X. Okay? So there's a lot of things I know, but that doesn't mean I'm a doer of it. Amen? Just because someone can say, I know the word, doesn't mean they're a doer of it. So if you ever catch yourself saying, I know that, now you better back up and say, am I doing it? Because see, another thing that the word is for in our lives is it gives us something to do. How many of you know we're supposed to obey the word? We're supposed to do what the word says. I'm going to wind this down quickly with this one. Go with me to Hebrews. And this actually ties back in with the beginning of my message. Hebrews chapter 10. The word brings us life. The word brings us health. The word brings us knowledge. And the word gives us something to obey. We're to obey the word. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 23. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith or of our hope, depending on your translation, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. How many of you know if you're thinking it, you'll speak it? How many of you ever catch yourself thinking or speaking what you're thinking? You know, you're driving down the highway and somebody does something stupid and you go, you stupid idiot. I'm the only one? No, I'm not. All right. If you're thinking it, you're going to be speaking it. But what if you're driving down the road and you're thinking about the word of God or you're thinking about the love of God when somebody in front of you does something stupid? Thursday, we were in Rapid and went and getting money for the trip to Nicaragua, and this guy saw us getting off the motorcycle and he talked about riding motorcycles and everything. And then he's also an EMT and he starts talking about being careful because there's goofballs out there. And okay, you know, want to keep going. And we're coming back from Rapid City and going down the 4-lane, and here's some guy in a blue Jeep. I don't even think he saw us. And had to hit both front and back brake to where I could smell the brakes because they got hot in that short little bit. Now, I saw him soon enough that I didn't get close. You know, it wasn't like, ah! But I got up there, knew I was well protected, you know, from running into him, and he's just, I don't even think he saw me. I didn't get too upset, did I? I don't even, my wife just said, that's just what the guy was telling us about. Be watching out. And then later on that day, I'm going down Main Street, and there's, I won't say the whole name, Brian. There's a white, it wasn't Brian. It was just a government vehicle. Brian don't care. It's this government vehicle. I'm right beside him, and we're going down Main Street. And all of a sudden, he decided he wanted my lane. And I'm by his door. I got to hit my brake, get right next to the curb, and get behind him. And I'm so thankful. You know what I did? And that's what my wave looked like, you guys. There wasn't a different wave there. I just kind of waved. I'm back here. Don't know if you saw me, but here I am. And then I had the chance to get up beside him on the passenger side, because this is just right, or on his driver's side. I opted not to. Because I don't think he made a mistake on purpose. And I'm so grateful that I responded that way. Amen. Hallelujah. So anyway, I love it when we've got more of God's word in our mind and more of God's word in our heart, and we act differently. It affects what we say. It affects how we talk. It affects how we live. Amen. So, gives us something to do. Let us hold fast our confession of our hope, confession of our faith, without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. I love this verse of scripture. And let us consider one another. It's just right there, it's worthy stopping on the word consider. What does consider mean? Think about it. Turn and look at somebody, nudge them and say, think about it. You know, and husbands and wives could do this if you wanted to. You could just, go ahead, consider me. All right. It stayed pretty quiet out there for husbands and wives. Really, consider one another. Consider one another. Consider. Stop and consider. Stop and slow down. How many times are we going so fast that we don't have time to consider people? How many times are we running so fast in our own lives with our own stuff where we're... And we rarely ever consider people. I don't like it when I do that in life, and I've seen myself do it way too many times. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'll tell you what, your pastor is being extremely scriptural. You know what? This is what makes me sad. The number of people, the number of faces that I don't see anymore in fellowship. Y'all think about it, okay? Think about the number of faces you don't see in fellowship anymore. And yet I can tell you what, with a lot of those faces that I don't see, I could go visit with them and they could say, it's all good. It's all good. And they'd say, I'm okay. How many of you know it's not all about you? Let us consider one another. I'm so tired of hearing people tell me, I don't need to fellowship. I don't need to go to church. I'm good. What about all the people you're supposed to minister to? What about all the people you're supposed to love on? What about all the people you're supposed to have something for? Amen? Hallelujah. The word gives us something to do. And one of those things to do is fellowship. And I bet you people sitting here today, some of you'd be shocked if you took the last 3-4 months and counted how many times you've been in fellowship. How many times you've been in church. It'd shock you. And I've watched it happen so many times. Little by little, by little, by little. And what am I supposed to do as a preacher? Would you please read that verse of scripture again and tell me what I'm supposed to do as a preacher? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know what? It's not just my job. How many of you know it's our job? It's our job to exhort people to be in fellowship. And yes, that includes the assembly of ourselves together. Is it just in church on Sundays? Is it just on Wednesday nights? No, there's Bible studies, there's home meetings, there's men's prayer breakfast, there's other places where we gather and we break bread and we eat spiritually and we feed ourselves and we're nourished. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's what I got for you. That's what I got for you. Amen. Hallelujah. How many are you going to take something? How many are you going to feed? How many are you going to let this word bring life? How many of you want that Zoe, life as God has it, in your life? How many of you know that's more up to you than it is him? That's more up to you than it is me. And you know, how many of you know there's good news in that statement right there? See, you get to have the say-so. You get to take charge. You get to be the boss of that. Satan doesn't get to be the boss. How many of you remember the old Flip Wilson comedy hour? He had this, the devil made me do it. Did you know the devil doesn't have authority over you? In Jesus' name, we trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I'm so thankful that he's given me authority. I'm so thankful that I can open up my Bible, I can read it, and I can feed myself. Amen? And, you know, if I get a little bit intense, I'm not apologizing. Because I don't like hurting. I don't like seeing what happens to people's lives. You'd be shocked if I shared with you some of the stuff I've heard this summer. I heard one thing, and I'm still dealing with it 3 months later. And it didn't have to be. Amen? This matters. This matters. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and stand up. And do me a favor, please. Will you ask the person next to you where they're going when they leave this world? And you might know them really well. Ask.